Zombie of Palmas, the Malungo, Zombie dos Palmas Malungo, Solano Trindade and Miacio Tati. Translation and critical introduction by Ananaya Johannara Cabo Francesca Negro. Zombie dos Palmas Malungo is an unpublished and unedited play in three acts, which dramatizes Afro-Brazilian memory and agency through the iconic maroon figure of Brazil, Zombie, his life in the maroon enclave of Palmas, and his death in battle against the colonial authorities and subsequent apotheosis. Written in Portuguese and cast in a classical mold with recognizable structuring elements drawn from Greek tragedy, it is equally infused with Afro-Atlantic lexis and cultural practices that cover quotidian, performative, and sacred realms. Hence land cultivation, culinary traditions, Afro-Brazilian dance and percussive practices, and invocations to and appearances of Yoruba religious divinities all animate the play, bestowing on it an astonishing richness of cultural texture, while in themselves elements worthy of investigation. This evident literary quality and density of ethnographic detail are not the only reasons we bring this hitherto unknown play into the scholarly spotlight. Our investigations establish Zumbi dos Palmas Malungo as the earliest dramatic depiction of Zumbi as Afro-Brazilian protagonist by an Afro-Brazilian dramaturge. In this introduction to the first translation into English of this valuable document, we present the reasons behind our claim. We also survey the play's three-act structure, its thematic focus and lexis, its relevance to Brazilian cultural politics, its place within African diasporic mobilizations of Maranhão as resistance to capitalism, and of Afro-Atlantic diasporic spirituality as collective resource. These discussions are offered as signposts for future readers and analysts of this play. In 2015, the first author was conducting archival research in the Alan Gray family personal papers of Alvin Ailey, housed within the Black Archives of Mid-America in Kansas City. There, within Series 18 in Box 33 of the catalogued papers, which consists of a completely unstudied dossier of Afro-Brazilian materials, she discovered this play in the form of a typewritten manuscript. On the title page of the manuscript are two handwritten names, Solano Trindade and Miacio Tati. These are resonant names within Afro-Brazilian self-assertion during the 1950s and 1960s. Trindade was the founder of the Teatro Popular Brasileiro, TPB, and Tati, a well-known translator of that period. Through collaborating with the second author to study the dossier's overall materials, Alvin Ailey's interest in them, the history of Afro-Brazilian cultural activism, and close reading of the play itself, its significance and the role of Solano Trindade within it was gradually unpacked. This methodology yielded the hypothesis that Zumbi dos Palmas Malungo, ZPM, was co-authored by Solano Trindade, who presented the text and the other materials to Ailey during the latter's Brazil tour in 1963. Our hypothesis was strengthened by evidence provided by his daughter, the late Raquel Trindade, to the first author during a field visit, January 2016, to the family home of Trindade and the TPB premises in Embu das Arets, Brazil. It was dramatically confirmed in October 2019 by Raquel Trindade's son, Vitor Trindade, when the second author met him in Embu das Arets, during a group rehearsal of this very play using another copy of the play. Since at least two recensions exist of ZPM, one in the possession of Vitor Trindade, and the other in the Alvin Ailey archives, a critical edition of the text will require comparative examination of both manuscripts as well as negotiation of copyright issues surrounding this text's hemispheric travels and subsequent archival deposition. In the meanwhile, we consider it our responsibility to bring notice of its existence to the scholarly community, because it antedates what is currently accepted as the first dramatic rendering of Zumbi's story, the play Arena Cantar Zumbi, which premiered in São Paulo in 1965, Campos 1988. The typescript of ZPM in the Ailey dossier has the date of 1962 scribbled onto it, and Ailey's departure from Brazil with it in 1963 means that it must predate Arena Cantar Zumbi by at least a year. ZPM is thus the earliest extant dramatic representation of Palmas, although arising from the same intellectual circle as did Arena Cantar Zumbi. In keeping with the politics of this circle, ZPM depicts Palmas along three distinct axes of song and dance, cultivation of land, and the occupation of time. It thereby manifests an approach to labor, spirituality, and the market that is presented as radically alternative to capitalism. These are issues resonant with studies of the cultural, political, and economic history of Brazil and the Afro-Atlantic world, and with intersectional investigations into Maroons and Marinage. We thus believe that scholars working within these areas will find our translation, and these introductory remarks that follow, useful resources in advance of our critical edition of the play. Solano Trindade and the Quilombo before Quilombismo. Trindade would have been around 54 years old when he composed ZPM, and at the peak of his career as a pioneering cultural mediator, an organic intellectual, he forged sites of dialogue through his personal actions, the texts that he produced, and the cultural activities he organized. Souza 2008. Born in Recife, northern Brazil, in 1908, Trindade had, by 1963, amassed a wealth of experience in mobilizing African diasporic arts to activate pride in Afro-Brazilian identity. In the 1930s, he had founded the Frente Negra Pernambucana, and organized in Recife and Salvador two Afro-Brazilian congresses. Moving to Rio in the 1940s, he became closely involved not just with local writers, artists, and dramatists, but also the Communist Party, for which political engagement he was imprisoned. By the 1950s, his collaboration with an increasingly prominent group of Afro-Brazilian cultural producers, including sociologist Edison Carneiro and intellectual Abdias do Nascimento, generated a virtuous circle whereby literature, theater, journalism, music, and the plastic arts interacted to intervene systematically within hegemonic systems of representation. Souza 2008, page 235. Out of this heady atmosphere arose Trindade's signature mixing of theater with live music and dance from Afro-Brazilian traditions. The TPB, which he founded, was closely connected with the premiere of Vinicius de Moraes's Orfeo Negro in 1956. During the 1960s, Trindade helped set up the artistic commune Embu das Aretes, which, together with TPB, still exists outside Rio and which the both authors had the privilege to visit, on separate occasions, in the company of his great-grandson Zinho Trindade, a rap artist in São Paulo. Embu das Aretes, a lovely village that has resisted amalgamation into the metropolis of São Paulo, feels, indeed, a bit like a Quilombo, a place of refuge and autonomy for Maroons, or escaped slaves. It is not inconceivable that the figure of Zumbi and his autonomous kingdom of Palmas served as exemplar for Trindade's vision for this artistic commune. Zumbi was a historical Maroon leader of the late 17th century 1605-1655, the last king of the Quilombo or Maroon enclave of Palmas that was situated on the border between present-day Pernambuco and Alagoas in North Brazil. Freitas, 1984, and Galdino, 1993. Zumbi is revered in Afro-Brazilian culture as a symbol of anti-slavery and anti-colonial resistance, and more recently, since the 1990s to be precise, also celebrated in mainstream Brazilian culture through the renewed search for Afro-Brazilian cultural autonomy within the movement called Quilombismo, a Folhabi 2012. But his entry into popular consciousness was in fact part of the cultural assertion spearheaded by Trindade Circle. In 1947, appeared Carneiro's scholarly work on Zumbi, O Quilombo de Palmas, an important step in the apotheosis of Zumbi from a dangerous, even murderous rebel leader, a menace to white society, to Zumbi as an elevated figure, the catalyst for a new reading of Afro-Brazilian culture around Palmas as a mythic and utopian space of resistance to the plantation. Carneiro, 1947. In 1964, influenced by Carneiro's research, Gianfrancesco Guarnieri and Augusto Boll co-authored what is considered as the first dramatic rendering of Zumbi's story, the play Arena Cantar Zumbi, with music by Edu Lobo. It premiered in São Paulo in 1965. Campos, 1988. As we have stated above, ZPM could have been composed no later than 1963. This cut-off date makes it, and not Arena Cantar Zumbi, the earliest extant dramatic representation of Palmas and Zumbi as Afro-Brazilian protagonist. Nevertheless, two Afro-Brazilian musical plays on this topic written within a couple of years of each other indicates their emergence from the same intellectual circle we have described above. Zumbi and his Kingdom of Palmas instigated in this circle a poetics of the Quilombo, what, in the context of the much more recent Quilombismo movement, has been called a potasseo quilombola, that is, a poetic imagination that is subject to the ideas and aspirations of the Quilombo, of the ultimate desire for freedom. Lorenzo, 1993, pages 3-5. Already in 1961, Trindade had written Canto dos Palmas, one of a series of poems by him that mobilize Zumbi as warrior, wielding the weapons of time through equal invocation of culture and agriculture. The dramatic elaboration of these lyric ideas in ZPM represents a key moment in this genealogy of cultural activism and creativity around Zumbi and Palmas, and must be seen in a line of continuity with Nascimento's and Carneiro's ethnologic and artistic research. The Quilombo in Trindade's works is a space of freedom, a space where a superior law of respect and justice is applied, where everybody can be admitted, but also from which anybody can be expelled if not observant of the rules, despite familial ties or social status. Trindade's Palmas is exemplary of organized and balanced society run along deeply socialist principles. Ferreira 2008, ZPM as an Afro-Atlantic tragedy, Cereva, the narrative, spectacular, and didactic possibilities of theater allowed Trindade to incorporate within ZPM the participatory and performative energy of Afro-Brazilian kinetic, percussive, musical, and sacred traditions. The play interweaves these traditions with the structural conventions of classical genres, making it reminiscent of the post-colonial literary strategies of Derek Walcott's Omarus and Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart. ZPM is an epic lyrical piece with a tragic dimension. Its prologue and three acts take us to nodal sites for the Quilombo's inhabitants, and their interactions with each other and Zumbi in these sites introduce dramatic tension. The prologue, set in the Quilombo's communal quarters, presents the chorus which will comment throughout on the action. The first act, set in the central cell of Palmas, shows Zumbi mediating over a land dispute while introducing the complications of his daughter Kala's love for the young master, the son of the plantation owner, and the trickster figure, Bimbo. The second act unfolds in a fair on the outskirts of Palmas, where Kala, Zumbi, and others can come face to face with young master and his lily-white fiancé, with disastrous consequences. The final act takes place in Zumbi's court, where confrontations between a contrite young master, a Jesuit priest, Bimbo the trickster, and Zumbi's system of justice unfold even while the colonial powers announce war on Palmas. This three-act structure progressively reveals Zumbi's extraordinary qualities as a semi-divine leader, a stern yet patient patriarchal chief, a tragic hero whose fatal flaw will ultimately deprive his people of their leader and plunge them into a chaos that will defer indefinitely his call to liberty. These features give the play an elevated, because classical, air, while functioning as a framework for the insertion of elements denoting the sacred, performative and quotidian dimensions of Afro-Brazilian culture. Its Greek chorus is divided into male and female groups, and modeled into an African-style call and response which allows plentiful incorporation of various Afro-Brazilian kinetic percussive traditions. The prologue even invests this call and response mode with the rhythm of capoeira. Within its denouement, the deus ex machina is composed of the Yoruba Candomblé pantheon. Its adroit fusion of performance with pedagogy makes it the ultimate elevation of Afro-diasporic heritage through recourse to classical antiquity. Extremely important in this context is the play's strategic recourse to Afro-Brazilian versions of Yoruba divinities, from Ilorum, one of three manifestations of the supreme godhead, to the Orishas Oxala, Zangor, Adudua, Iansa, Omala, Ogun, and Imanja. The copious presence of the Orisha pantheon points to Trindade's privileging of that branch of Candomblé, Nago or Quito, of Yoruba origin over the other variants, Candomblé Bantu of Angolan origin, and Candomblé Jige, with ethnic origin in Benin, Ghana, and Togo. This emphasis, together with references to the divination practice of Ifa and to Amerindian belief systems through the mention of Tupa, supreme god of the Guarani, suggests not practiced belief but intellectualized synthesis of materials gained through unprecedented access to the closely guarded secrets of Candomblé's praxis. At the time of the play's composition, the songs, dances, and percussion styles that it valorizes, through their integration into strategic moments within its action, had not yet been subjected to the complementary processes of commodification and folklorization that would bring them ultimately into the competitive arena of public culture. Their structurally meaningful presence within the play marks thus a watershed in the negotiation of the place of Afro-Brazilian materials within the national cultural corpus. We have already noted the capoeira rhythm that permeates the prologue's dialogues. Scenes open and close with capoeira, and dialogues include terminology from its kinetic repertoire. But there is more. Zumbi's daughter dies dancing the lundu, the matrix of all modern dances from the Lusophone Black Atlantic. There is samba at the fair and at the gathering of maroon forces. The maraca to ushers in the apotheosis of Zumbi. Percussive instruments, tambours, atabaks, birimbo and pandiro, punctuate the action. The unfolding action on stage thus allows the spatialized realization of Palmas as a special, even consecrated space, where the everyday performative acts of inhabitants gain a mythical dimension in which the audience becomes emotionally invested. Moreover, these semantic clusters literally put Afro-Brazilian heritage in the mouths of the actors. They are augmented by words forged in resistance to the plantation, from the titular Malungo, companion, comrade, to the Senzala, maroon village, slave quarters of the play's first line, the Quilombo, maroon enclave, within which it is set, and the greeting, Cerava that irradiates it, territory without fences as creative merinage. A felicitous outcome of this Quilombization of Portuguese is the play's loving nomenclature of vegetables drawn from the Kimbundu language. For example, jilo, a kind of aubergine, maxix, the so-called maroon cucumber, quingombo, okra, abuxo, broad bean, munganga, a variation of maganga, a kind of pumpkin, and mandioca, cassava, as well as a number of Bahian dishes of Afro-Brazilian tradition, kereru, the famous pan, Atlantic calalu, rapadura, a sweetmeat made from brown sugar, akarajé, black-eyed bean fritters mixed with palm oil, quimbembe, a corn-based drink, jerebita, liquor in general, ala, a Bahian drink made from pineapple skin, and the generic quitutes, delicacies. If the dishes are known throughout Brazil as part of the creation of a national gastronomy, the nouns describing the vegetables remain restricted to Bahia while, in many cases, continuing to be used in Angola. This differentiated vocabulary conveys the processes of what Fernando Ortiz 1995 called transculturation, the coexistence and mix of different African cultures, in Bahia, home to Brazil's largest Afro-descendant population. But it also enhances the cosmic and ludic registers of the play with the lexis and performance of the everyday. Significantly, this quotidian dimension is invested in an autonomy over land and its management enjoyed in Palmas, which recalls and exceeds the Creole gardens that broke through the plantation's machinery. Building on this cherished memory of small-scale horticultural autonomy enjoyed by the enslaved, the play presents the Quilombo along socialist principles of communal land ownership, and Zumbi as their guarantor and custodian. Although one might imagine a play about a maroon leader to foreground warfare, it is instead the community's relationship to labor that ZPM foregrounds. Its first act demonstrates Zumbi's leadership qualities through his mediation of a dispute over a field and a well. This dynamic presentation of the Quilombo's balancing act between the emergence of private property on the one hand, and Zumbi's preventive intervention on the other, enacts the return of resources to a sacred and collective use practice. Palmas, declares Zumbi, should be a territory without fences. Only the maroon enclave as fenceless commune can best unify its inhabitants against the biggest threat of all, the white master. Hence the message of ZPM is clear. Labor is culture, and it is best shared. Yet the history of slavery also demands that black labor and black culture be protected from exploitation. ZPM's use of Afro-diasporic embodied arts to showcase resource management thus manifests a powerful promise of maroon agency. In spite of the terror and the symbolic sealing off of the slave, he or she maintains alternative perspectives towards time, work, and self. Mbembe and Mintjes 2003, which are embodied in the maroon. The maroon is distinguished from the enslaved in being unbranded. There is a powerful moment in the first act, when a former slave reminds the audience of his branded and weakened body. In their bodies being their own, maroons are free to exploit time as they will, in accordance with the aspirations of a community that enshrines relationships alternative to those of capitalism. Maroonage, in this vision, occupies capitalist time. Hence Zumbi's call to arms in ZPM comes with eloquent invocations to transform the calendar, the tick-tock reckoning of capitalist time. Zumbi is the centuries, it declares, and through his call for freedom, time and the calendar will refashion themselves. ZPM thus joins a long lineage of Afro Descendant creative works that imagine alternatives to capitalism through the Maroons' occupation of time through. This dialectic with temporality is managed by using Merinage as a historical fact as a springboard for Merinage as an imagined act. As Edouard Glissant observed, after the collapse of the plantation, historical Merinage intensified over time to exert a creative Merinage, whose numerous forms of expression began to form the basis for a continuity. This continuity is itself a sequence of discontinuities, a derangement of the memory which determines, along with imagination, our only way to tame time. The plantation generated a complicated play of memory and forgetting that resulted in coils of time. Glissant, 1997, pages 71-2. Hence fleeing the plantation implies trying to wriggle out of those coils or finding a way to burst through them. Criclo, 2009. Using the historical memory of the Maroon in acts of creative Merinage, as Trindade does in this play, is one way to flee the plantation and its imbrication with capitalist time. Creative Merinage can take many forms, but fundamental to it is an aspiration to shape a culture that shatters the stone of time. Glissant, 1989, page 145. This profoundly revolutionary intent of creative Merinage resurges in ZPM. It is a performance that seeks to infuse audience, reader, creator, and performer with this alternative perception of time. Creolization, contact zones, and the market. Creative Merinage entails the artful deployment of embodied acts that derive from the historical phenomenon of the plantation as space of encounter, contamination, and creolization. The vocabulary at Trindade's disposal, whether as poet or dramaturge, is, in the end, a vocabulary that can imagine the Maroon only through what the Maroon was imagined as have resisted. The desire to possess the past cannot help being filtered through a tissue of transculturation, including language itself. The texture of ZPM is striated with references to these compromises and betrayals that structure Afro-descendant collective memory and surface in its most prized cultural possessions. Most poignant of these is the role of Zumbi's daughter, Kala, who falls in love with the master's son, and embodies the breaching of the Quilombo's defenses through the woman's body as site of cultural compromise. Unlike countless foundation scenarios that perform miscegenation as the originating fact of the Americas, Taylor, 2003, however, the play refuses the possibility of the birth of new culture through creolization. Kala commits suicide on her realization that the young master has betrayed her by taking the lily-white Flora as his betrothed. Significantly, she falls on a concealed dagger while performing that venerable Afro-Brazilian dance, the Lundu, also a product of creolization, for the happy couple's entertainment. Was this a telling self-indictment by Trindade on the limits and possibilities of converting Afro-Brazilian heritage into performance for an audience? But creolized dance survives. It survives not only Kala's death, but that of Zumbi's in the final act. As noted earlier, a Miracatu performance accompanies his apotheosis. Although Kala and Zumbi both die to keep Palmer's intact, therefore, the play underscores its permeability to outside forces. Creolization in this vision interfaces with capitalism along several vectors of labor. On the one hand, the play's action is fundamentally driven by the plantation, as embodied in the Casa Grande and Senzala complex, Freer, 2003. On the other, its self-sufficient and communal economy coexists alongside the market. The entire second act takes place in a fair close to Palmer's, accompanied by the stage direction. Black men and women are buying and selling. The fair is a bustling space where slaves and Maroons exchange news as well as goods, announcing their wares through market calls, and each other with music and dance. On Zumbi's unexpected arrival, one seller felicitates him with a song of my labor, which triggers spontaneous dancing and morphs seamlessly into a samba, generated by a rural choir. Now samba as a coherent rhythm, dance, and musical genre emerged in Rio de Janeiro only during the 1910s, McCann, 2004, page 44, and by the 1960s it had become involved in a fierce discussion of whether, and how, Afro Brazilian heritage could be protected while negotiating the popular music market. Spearheading this discussion was Trindade's friend Edison Carneiro, pioneering historiographer of Palmer's, who authored the cultural manifesto, Carta do Samba, around the same time as ZPM was written. The samba's inclusion within a 17th century fair is thus a clue towards how Trindade and his circle viewed the market as space for the considered negotiation, in all senses of the term, of culture. In the fair, commerce takes place in a manner consonant with the community values of Palmers. It enables diverse transactions between black populations aligned differently to labor and, therefore, to the plantation. As contact zone, it functions as a space of black empowerment and as a proto-tourist attraction. It is to show his betrothed the curiosities of the fair that the young master brings her to it. And the Lundu, the couple request from Kala as entertainment, converts it into a meter theatrical spectacle. But it is precisely during this dance performance that she kills herself. The house slave Kala's unrequited love for the young master is a vital marker within the play's minimalist representation of colonial society through relations between the enslaved and their masters, and different categories of the enslaved. Its tragic plot sends us back to the unbridgeable social gap that was very much part of Trindade's lived experience. A narrative solution that would predicate the incongruous domesticating of Zumbi resulting from Kala and young master living happily ever after, with the unrelenting maroon leader converted to the white man's son-in-law, succeeded by mixed-race grandchildren, would reduce tragedy to bathos. Killing off Kala is to close emphatically one obvious route to the dilution of maroon power. But Kala's Lundu follows the Shakespearean logic of the play within the play, Nelson 1958, where ethical dilemmas receive heightened dramatic focus. Here, the dilemma rests in the incompatibility of the play's narrative logic, that cannot support a teleology of creolization, and the play's existence as creolized product on every level. The ambiguous message of the death-dealing Lundu is repeated in the final act. The contact zone here is Zumbi's court, where a Jesuit priest attempts to mitigate Zumbi's condemnation of young master through appeals to Christian clemency. Through Zumbi's responses, Trindade offers a lucid and democratic response to the double standards of enlightenment-based principles of universal humanism, and their convenient collusion with the doctrines of Christianity to perpetuate race-based inequality. Yet even as Zumbi speaks, the colonizing armies are gathering offstage. Ultimately, like Kala, Zumbi is sacrificed to underline the moral message of the play, which, as in classical tragedy, is left to the chorus to articulate. Yet the persistence of Afro-Atlantic divine machinery and the music and dance through which its ideas are translated into stage attest to the play's channeling of that message through recourse to signifiers and activated memory of Africanity. Its function as rich archive of Afro-Brazilian music and dances performs its ethical commitment to the act of saving, salva, which is also its creolized greeting, serava, through both vernacular and sacral dances and rhythms, from the Aluja of the prologue, which is a sacral drum rhythm played for Zangor, to the Maracatu of Zumbi's apotheosis. The play takes us to the heart of Afro-Brazilian rituals, with their complex theatrical and musical character. In fact, the importance of these elements in the play derives not from an ornamental role, but from their indispensability to Afro-descendant cultures and religions. Their ubiquity within ZPM is therefore fundamental to Trindade's representation of the richness and complexity of African heritage ritual forms, and their natural proximity to dramaturgy. Note on translation the performative density and political importance of creolizing lexis and conceptual apparatus in ZPM led us to make a series of considered choices while translating from the original Portuguese and bringing a typewritten manuscript from the 1960s in line with contemporary typographic conventions. The language Trindade deploys is not particularly complex, but it is expressive and emphatic, colloquial and stately in turn. It is mostly in prose, with significant lyric passages, mostly dedicated to moments of heightened emotional and philosophical import. There are also extensive stage directions. We have retained these distinctions of the original text in our translation, reproducing as the typographic choices through which Trindade visually conveys them. His typographic decisions around lineation are adhered to by us because they bear significant rhythmic information, as explained by us above. Long sections of dialogue, particularly around the trickster figure Bimbo, are suffused with Afro-Brazilian colloquialisms that we chose to reproduce through the language of contemporary hip-hop, R&B, and urban music. The real challenge lay in capturing in syntactically correct and fluid English all those nuances while carrying over, also, the Afro-Brazilian flavor of words from specific lexical fields, botany and gastronomy, music and dance, maroon life, and sacrality. We have chosen to retain all these nouns, unitalicized for ease of reading, and have provided in each case an explanatory footnote. The only exception we make is Negro, whose unmarked usage in prose is not permissible now in Anglophone discourse. The issue was complicated further by Trindade's polysemic use of it within the text. We decided to translate Negro in three different, context-dependent ways. A member of the people belonging to the Quilombo, in which case, we translate it as Maroon. B a mode of address for people within this community, equivalent to expressions such as colleague, mate, companion. In this case, usually embedded within dialogues, we translate it as brother and sometimes as black. And C to indicate the political community of black people, which is usually embedded within the lyrical segments and also within the stage directions. Here, we translate it as black. Among the other untranslated words, we have retained also the most common greeting, Sereva. That is also a wish and a way to welcome another person, Sereva. We now welcome our readers to this translation. We hope you will feel, like us, wholly immersed in this reconstruction of Palmer's and impacted by the powerful presence of gods, music and dance that characterize this, the first ever Afro-Brazilian musical play on Zumbi. Let the children play or Solano Trindade, the little boy from Recife. Dixam as Cryansus Brincarum. O you Solano Trindade, O Molik do Recife. Woodcut, by Raquel Trindade, image published in Solano Trindade's Cantas ao Meu Povo, São Paulo, Fulgor, 1961. Non-paginated, Zumbi dos Palmas Malungo, by Solano Trindade and Miyoshio Tati. Translated by Ananya Johanna Akabir and Francesca Negro. Prologue, Senzala, the Maroons. At ease around a fire, listen to the mysterious sounds of the forest. Night, the freedom cry of Zumbi, heard from far away, overwhelms the sounds of nature. The confraternity confabulates. The memory of the hero, already a legend, is for them a reason to believe in freedom. An old Maroon, the storyteller, explains to the young ones the meaning of Zumbi's voice, accompanied in his narration by a musical bass of belly berimbos, four players, and a tambourine. Accompanying the narrator is a chorus of three women and three men. Narrator, friends, I will tell you a very beautiful story that has been told to the person who told it to me when he was a child. A very beautiful story I will tell, friends. Narrator, beautiful because it's true. The story of Zumbi. Female chorus, he was a good king, a warrior, he was just, saintly, and humane. Narrator, the story of Zumbi, beautiful because it's true. Narrator, it's told that he fought against the enemy with very unequal arms for 90 years. Male chorus, in the war against the enemy with very unequal arms. Narrator, he defended his people with intelligence and bravery. Female chorus, he was a friend and a mentor. He was everybody's king. Narrator, he defended his people with intelligence and bravery. Entire chorus, he was everybody's king. Narrator, it's an enchanting history within the life of enslavement of black people in this Brazil, who were able to fight so hard. Male chorus, it's an enchanting history within the life of enslavement. Narrator, as king of his Quilombo, Zumbi governed very well. He sheltered his brothers against the hate of the master. Female chorus, as king of his Quilombo, Zumbi governed very well. Narrator, he was highly reputed among the Malungas of his faction. Male chorus, he was a god and a wise man, he was a chief and a king. Narrator, he was highly reputed among the Malungas of his faction. Entire chorus, he was a commander and a king. Narrator, in his Quilombo there were Maroons from different clans. There were good ones and bad ones, loyal ones and traitors. Female chorus, Maroons from different clans were there in his Quilombo. Entire chorus, there were traitors too. Narrator, selected by the gods to help his siblings, he was able to follow the orders to accomplish his mission. Male chorus, selected by the gods to help his brothers. Female voice, he was able to follow the orders. Narrator, they believe he came from the Congo. Some believe he came from Guinea. Female chorus, sent by a Lorum god who governs in all Africa. Some believe he came from Guinea. Narrator, they believe he came from Congo. Narrator, Kosi Abba Lorum. That's the great salutation. Male chorus, Kosi Abba Lorum. Female chorus, Kosi Abba Lorum. Narrator, that's the great salutation. Entire chorus, Kosi Abba Lorum. Narrator, over there, near a Lagos in the hideouts of Pernambuco, a brave group arose in the Quilombo of Palmas. Male chorus. In the hideouts of Pernambuco over there, near Alagos. Narrator. Zumbi revealed himself to be a great governor and judge. He governed his people with justice and freedom. Female chorus. As great governor and judge Zumbi revealed himself. Entire chorus. With justice and freedom. Female voice. With justice and freedom. Narrator. In Zumbi's justice there was no racial hatred. Male chorus. Just the right to live without enslavement. Narrator. There was no racial hatred in Zumbi's justice. Narrator. Wherever he appeared the impossible didn't exist. He had the calm of Oxalá, he had the strength of Zangor. Female chorus. The impossible didn't exist. Wherever he appeared. Narrator. He encouraged love and unity amongst the Quilombola, he punished the betrayer and paid homage to the faithful. Female chorus. Love among the Quilombola. Male chorus. He encouraged love and unity. Male voice. He wanted good things for everybody in the domains of Adudua. Narrator. Let us now remember the great love of Kala, the great love for a white man who was the master's son. Feminine chorus. The great love of Kala. Let us now remember. Narrator. If the white man is an enemy, the son is an enemy. 2. Male chorus. This was the law of the people against the master, their executioner. Narrator. The son is an enemy too if the white man is an enemy. Male chorus. This was the law of the people. Narrator. We also have in this story the presence of a traitor. Female chorus. This is character called Bimbo, a bad and reckless man in the service of the master. Narrator. The presence of a traitor we also have in this story. Narrator. Bringing disharmony amongst all the Malungas, a traitor to his brothers he favored the enemy. Male chorus. Among all the Malungas bringing disharmony. Narrator. Now ladies and gentlemen. Pay full attention to this famous tragedy that is just about to start. Female chorus. Pay full attention now ladies and gentlemen. Entire chorus. Pay full attention. The last words of the chorus are heard from afar along with the beating of the drums, while women lose themselves in the dance of Zangor Zaluja. Narrator. Zangor is he who will open the show, beating on his drums. The Aluja dance continues until when, once again, Zumbi's cry for freedom fills up the night from afar. Narrator. Zumbi peace and freedom. Zumbi. 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 The Birimbo and Pandiro players start moving, beating out excitedly the dance rhythm of the Capoeiristas, superimposed on the distant sound of the drums, while the curtain falls slowly. The Pandiro and Birimbos keep on playing against the increasingly loud shouts of the Maroons who, in the following scene, will appear around the Capoeiristas, egging them on to battle. ACTI, the central cell of the Macacus, in the Quilombo dos Palmas, Alagos, Serra de Berriga 1692. Cries and provocations. The Birimbos resound. Pandiro. The Capoeiristas traverse the stage with their jumps. Voices from the chorus. Hey. Good scissors come on Quelamant, a headbutt for him. A frazo Quelamant. A balloon a frazo. A stingray's tail. Female voice. Don't say I didn't tell you. Zumbi is coming. Heard above the shouting. Other voice. And he's real close. A frazo. Tripping up Quelamant. Take this. You good for nothing. Quelamant falls into Fajenha's arms. Fajenha, go back. I am not a bench. And nor are you my son that I should take you in my arms. Quelamant, falling sitting on the ground. Never have I hung out with this loafer. I've twisted my foot. Afrazo, lazy and shameless black. Quelamant, taking a knife and going towards Afrazo. I am going to rip into this snout of a pig. Get ready. Voice from chorus. Put your knife back, Quelamant. Zumbi is here. Zumbi, intercepting Quelamant's jump, and snatching away his knife. The Macambaras of Palmas don't fear death. In this forest they built the Quilombo of freedom, and because of freedom they take up the knife. Quelamant, where is he hiding? The master you want to kill. Quelamant, I am quarreling with Afrazo. Zumbi, because of a well. Zumbi, what reason would there be for two brothers from Angola to kill each other, if not for the well dug between them? Afrazo, and it was I who dug it. Quelamant, in a plot of land I cultivate. Afrazo, I never saw any cultivated ground in the place where I dug my well. Quelamant, of course you didn't, but I cultivate it. There's Jillo, there's Maxix, there's also Quingambor. I also made my own fence to mark out what is mine. Zumbi, and Afrazo did not see your fence? Afrazo, I saw a fence set in a plot of land I cultivate. I destroyed it. Quelamant, I never saw any cultivated land in the place where I placed my fence. A frazo. Well, he didn't see it, but I cultivate it. There's abaxo. There's munganga. There's also quingambor. I destroyed your fence and in its place I built another one. The well I dug is on my side of the fence. Zumbi. The well doesn't know where it is. If it is on the land cultivated by a frazo, or on the land that Quelamant cultivated, we will put a fence around the well, because it's enchanted and doesn't know where it's placed. A frazo. It's on the plot of land that is mine. Quelamant. In the place that I cultivated. Zumbi. But in the end, not even a drop of water. There's blood of brothers, of neighbors' yards, their souls separated by the thorny fence of hatred amongst brothers. Should the enemy arrive, hunting out the Macambirus of the forest, there would be no hatred left for him fueling the brothers' rebellion, since they used up all they had against themselves, all because of a well. Voice from the chorus. He's asking for unity amongst the brothers. Other voice. Unity against the white master. Other voice. Peace in the strong Quilombo. Polino. Talking to Zumbi. I have an F marked on the body, because I got caught as a fugitive slave. I escaped again and I got caught again. The second punishment is this severe ear. I am weak. Zumbi. I don't know if my brother's love is enough for me, against so great a strength as that of the master. If I am caught again. Zumbi. A cane can be broken with the hands, but a bunch of canes, if well tightened, cannot be broken by the strongest arm. The multitude is invincible. A frazo. I am forced to give up the well for the love of Zumbi, our king. Zumbi. For love of your sons. A frazo. For love of yourselves. We are men, not gods, and we have the weakness of men. And because of this weakness, we turn the knife against a brother's chest. Should the enemy attack our house, I tell you, we need to be like the bunch of canes. At that time of war, we shall destroy the fences that divide the yards. Voice from the chorus. It's what Zumbi asks, to be like a bunch of canes during war. Another voice. And to turn the yards of the Macambus into a complete territory without fences. Figenha. Placing herself before Zumbi. However, let me ask, who taught capoeira to these wild blacks? They didn't know how to fight. They used to debate politely. Now this is what we see. Nobody should give a big knife to two ruffians because they would simply kill some innocent person. Voice from the chorus. Who taught Quelamant how to fight? Another voice. Who taught a frazo? Quelamant. It was Zumbi who taught him. A frazo. It was Zumbi. Zumbi. I learned from my father how to fly like an arrow. I always won competitions amongst the children of my nation. But nobody ever saw Zumbi using his legs to escape from the enemy's weapons, or to persecute a weak person. A frazo and Quelamant are an embarrassment to their master. A frazo. I am brave. Zumbi. Quelamant. I know all the capoeira moves. Zumbi. You are brave for what? What's the purpose of knowing all the moves if you're not able to beat the enemy? Our war is outside of Palmer's. Palmer's is a fortress. I taught bravery and these moves to a frazo and Quelamant, keeping in mind the white master that they need to defeat. But instead of fighting in that war, they are bold enough to practice my moves in Figenha's arms. Figenha, just let them come here. I can break these canes into half and throw them into the well. Two morons. Voice from the chorus. Zumbi is right. Another voice. We want to see a frazo and Quelamant playing capoeira for fun. Other voice. And then defeat the master in the war of the Quilombus. A frazo and Quelamant, laughing and agile, return to capoeira to the sound of the birimbos and the pandiro. Zumbi is enjoying himself. The maroons shout and clap. In the middle of the confusion of the fighting capoeiristas and the joy of the gathered maroons, Kala, kneeling in front of Zumbi, starts to weep. Those present understand what's happening and stop the game. Some return to work. Others surround Zumbi. Zumbi, why are you crying? Kala, we meet so rarely and yet the few moments of our meetings are watered by your tears. Kalu, Zumbi, I came to say goodbye. Zumbi, where are you going? Kalu, I ran away from the big house. I am going back there. I ran away because of you. Driven crazy by nostalgia. I saw Zumbi. I met my brothers again and, now, I bid my father goodbye. Zumbi, instead of living freely with those who love you, you prefer to be a slave amongst those who made my son suffer so much. I don't agree with your thinking. Kalu, I live in the heart of the master's family. I am well treated by everybody. I am a friend of the little daughters of the masters who played with me during childhood. as if I was their equal. Zumbi, for your owner's family, you were just a black Kalonga, noble daughter of Zumbi, so pure and so virginal, just like the little white girls who used to pull your hair in their moments of anger. I don't believe in the goodness of a love that is made out of humiliation. Kalu, love gives me joy, whatever it may be made out of. I am happy in the big house, and I'm returning there. Zumbi, as a dog who had escaped beating that goes back to the owner. Voice from the chorus. Kala, Zumbi's daughter, how can Kala be compared to a dog? Other voice, the drama becomes clear. Kala is speaking as a woman in love. Other voice, if Zumbi discovers this, he can well kill her. Other voice, he can well kill Kala. Zumbi, I also love Kala. I love peace and freedom. I love the wind and the sea. I love the plants that grow on this earth. I love human beings. There is no measure for the measurement of this love that lives in my heart. But love brings its own disgrace. It brings its own tears. Kala, the voice that it makes audible through the throat of the oppressed is more like a cry of hatred, rather than a song of humanity. Returning to the chorus, and because of this I say that in these times of war and death, the word is hatred. Once the accounts are settled, love will triumph. Voices from the chorus. Welcome, Zumbi. Other voices. Welcome, Savior. Zumbi, my loved ones. My love for peace gives me courage against the oppressor. Announce with your own drums that the day of liberation has arrived. I united you. Forget the differences of your beliefs. Forget your kings. And remember that we are brothers and many are those whose souls suffer and whose bodies suffer from enslavement. Voices from the chorus. Many are those who lament, many are those who weep, many are those who despair, many are those who kill. Polino. Many are those who don't believe in life. Zumbi. But many are those who believe in tomorrow. Many are those who know what they want, many are those who have strength to fight, many are those who have consciences. Many are those who know how to love. I came to lead you. I fear neither rain nor sun, neither hunger nor thirst. All my enemies are weak when they face me. I wounded more than the sword of Ogun and cut down more than Zangor's axe. Polino, you are Zumbi. We know it. Voices from the chorus. You are Zumbi. Not even Iansa's wind can overtake you, neither can Imanja's waters overwhelm you. Zumbi, I am a servant of my people, I am as just as Solomon, as brave as David. Voices from the chorus. You are Zumbi. You are Zumbi. Zumbi, I am the awakening of consciousness. Kalu, you are Zumbi. We know that. You are Zumbi, and you are my father. I am a traitor to my blood, and unworthy of your name. I am in love with the master's son. Voice from the chorus. Kala loves the executioners of her persecuted race. Oh. Alorum's anger. Punish the lost soul. Zumbi, who was Kala in the world? She was one of Zumbi's daughters. She was black and more beautiful than the night. She allied herself with the oppressor of her people. She accepted him with her body. May Ifa reserve for her a future of suffering. It's a damned generation. Kalu, young master, he likes me. He smiles at Kala and requests me to sing and dance for him those songs and dances that I learned from my people. He fights against the oppressors. He is against his father's power. The young master told me one night that he wanted to speak with Zumbi, see Zumbi's royal posture, and embrace him. Voice from the chorus, the son of the white master in Zumbi's arms. Zumbi, just like in the arms of freedom itself, the image of the oppressor. To Kala, go back, bewitched one. Your master is waiting for you in the bed of perdition. On the sons of this love, plague, hunger and war. May the power of Omala's bladder strike her on her face. Voices from the chorus, strike her on her face. Kala runs away. The maroons start a grim batuk and a muttered chant. Zumbi exits. The batuk continues. Some maroons work. Some women are pounding cassava or washing clothes. Bimbo, an inept youngster who witnessed, hidden, the scene of Kala's departure, starts provoking the inhabitants of the Makambo. He's a dangerous manipulative kid, serving the master of the big house, to whom he reports what he knows in exchange for profit. In course of his reckless manipulations he will reveal, by mean of a monologue interrupted by short dialogues with the maroons, the evil plot he's hatching. Bimbo, this batuk is good, but it could be better. Whoever wants to play batuk can ask me how it is. The maroons, slowly, stop playing and return to work. Some try, in passing, to punish the naughty lad with blows that he avoids with the agility of a sassy. Bimbo, Marissa, give me a kiss. Marissa slaps him. He jumps away but maliciously provokes her again. Bimbo, I am a hustler, a hustler, a sweet talking hustler. Talking to himself. The encounter between father and daughter was full of tears and curses. It was just the beginning, and there will be more to come. When I stir my neighbor's kereru, the dish becomes even hotter. Talking to Fulosina, oh, Miss Fulosina, can I borrow some Rapadura? I want to know if this sweet is sweeter than your eyes, or than the honey of your mouth. Fulosina, come here and I'll show you the honey. You reeking skunk. I am going to throw you in a tank of water to get rid of that stink. Bimbo, I love your swag too. I want to rub against your bowl. He tries to approach Fulosina, who doubles back to hit him. He runs away. Bimbo, you won't catch me. Already far away, unaffected by Fulosina. I am a hustler, a sweet talking, loverboy hustler. Talking to himself. I am going to tell to the master that Kala is getting groovy with the young master, and that she told her father that he is against the power of the old master. We are about to enjoy here a real tearjerker noir. Talking to Siriako. Hey Siriako, you big-lipped kabinda. What do you have on that shoulder? Is it a head or a burnt-out log? If you want I can play with fire. Siriako, grabbing his arm and twisting him down to the floor. You skanky kid. Bimbo, I was joking. Siriako, don't snap my wing. I was talking about Fulugenso. About Fulugenso's head. He has got a monkey head, stupid black Fula. Ugly black. Siriako, leaving him. Fulugenso, take him. He's calling you a monkey. Fulugenso, if I put my hands on this squirrel he's going to eat his words and find himself in deep shit. Bimbo, I am Chili Pepper. That's it. I like to see the others burn. Talking to himself. But Kala is really going to suffer. I am going to deliver the young master into Zombie's hands so that the father of the diva will kill the white guy in front of the daughter, and after that then kill the daughter, and will be captured as an escaped slave and murderer, and the Quilombo will be burned, the Macamba struck down, and the Quilombolus captured, beaten and killed. Talking to Viriso. So, Viriso, give me some of your dough. I know you got rich stealing. The end of the world is close. The fire is going to blaze. He gets a slap from Viriso and runs away. Talking to himself. Kala suffering. Kala crying of sorrow. Leaving the stage. But this. What does it really have to do with me? I am a hustler. A sweet talking. Loverboy hustler. While night falls and Bimbo exits, the women who are pounding cassava start singing a song of work in a chorus as they finish their chores. Men, reclining on the floor, are waiting for Zombie, who will gather them at the right moment. Until the women fall silent, they are going to practice a lament in the background, which will become a loud song in the mouth of a soloist. The song of Malungo is heard. Zombie reappears, accompanied by his companions, majestic and bright against the deep darkness of the night. Chorus. Sereva. Sereva. Zombie, I am a poet, and my poem makes rise brothers and beloved ones that are getting ready for the battle. The drums aren't peaceful anymore. Even the palm trees are longing for freedom. Voice from the chorus. This is an ancient battle that, in the time of the Dutch, took place in a Lagos. Other voice. The Quilombolas at that time were more than 30,000. Zombie. Time passes without dates and calendar. The oppressor comes back with weapons and money. But I'll make him run. My liberating poem is sung by everybody, even by children. My poem is simple, they clap their hands accompanying the rhythm of my voice. Voice from the chorus. Ferneo Kirilho returned, and it was won back once again. Another voice. Nobody can take Palmas. Another voice. It's our fortress. Another voice. A fortress of ridges and palm trees, with its forests of vines and coconuts, and little palms. We built the Macambas, our fans and robes. We produce our wine. We make our butter. Zombie. The plantations are blooming. Children play in the moonlight. Our men beat their drums. Our women dance to their music. We don't want gold because we have life. Voice from the chorus. The saints protect us. While they are talking, the African gods enter to the low sound of the drums, starting the candomblé. A battler sent by Olorum confirms to Zombie the mission that was established for him, to liberate the Maroons. The dances of candomblé will not be interrupted during the scene. The dialogues overlap with the ritual. A battler, liberate. Zombie, liberate the blacks of the world. They suffer deep obstacles. Liberate them. Zombie, liberate them. Voice from the chorus. Sereva Lorum. Sereva Lorum. Zombie, I will. My lord, wherever they will be, I will be to free them. Voices from the chorus. Serva lorum. Serva lorum. Abatala. Keep for them your quilombo until freedom comes to all men. Voices from the chorus. Serva lorum. Serva lorum. Zombie, I will preserve my quilombo until when freedom comes to all men as Alorum desires. Voices from the chorus. Serva lorum. Serva lorum. Zombie, get united. Brothers, get united. So that we may be strong. A battle sent me to liberate you. Maroon woman, oh my beloved zombie, how sad is enslavement. Free us, free us. Lord zombie, zombie, your lord is Alorum. Maroon woman, Kosi agar kanoji Alorum. Kosi agar kanoji Alorum. Zombie, I have been sent by a battler to deliver from oppression those who love freedom, all that are not cowards, those who don't betray, those who don't sell themselves, those who don't get their hands dirty, those who love truth. The world belongs to everybody. The world belongs to human beings of all races. Maroon woman, beloved zombie, your words are enchanting. They are like birdsong in the morning. It's a song of love and freedom. God bless you, zombie. Zombie, go and tell your brothers that the time to fight has come for the last time against enslavement. Maroon woman, I'll go. Beloved zombie, the woman goes away. Zombie stands still in the middle of the dancing. The ritual continues to a quickening rhythm. Curtain. ACT 2 fair close to Palmer's. Black men and women are engaged in buying and selling. Some shouts here and there. In the foreground, Zika, who's in love with Kala and his family, his mother Lucada, his father Salaso, the sister Nana, the brother Kassala, and Agino. Lucada, we don't have a family. Everybody becomes a good bullock once touched with a stick. Saluzo, love unites us. The master divides us, as a sword that divides our heart in two parts. Lucada, Zika, what will you do? Zika, I will flee. Mother Lucada, I'm fleeing to Palmer's. Agino, I will flee with Zika. Nana, we are suffering. Parents pay, and the sister too, for the escape of the relatives. That's how it is. It's necessary. Zika will have to go. Lucada, they sell a son to a new master that will travel with him far from Pernambuco, like a bale of cotton or other thing without soul. Saluzo, to Zika, and you are sure of this? The master is selling slaves? Does he need money? Zika, men are slaves ran away. Plantations are suffering. They say that the master's son wants his father to go with him to Sao Paulo, to try his luck with mines and precious stones. In time they will sell everything, both slaves and land. Lucada, Soloso will be sold, and Nana too. They will sell my son Agino, and then Zika. Nana, Mother Lucada, I want to die. Agino, I will fight with Zombie. Zombie, who was approaching the family, without having being noticed. There's a place in Palmer's for all members of the black family who are being persecuted. Lucada, beautiful royal figure. He wouldn't happen to be Zombie, would he? Agino, it's Zombie, our hero. Zika, my arms belong to you. Here's the only strength I have, and I place it at your feet. Nana, oh my beautiful beloved king. Zombie, I am just the sum total of love and strength. Strength of Zika's arms, and of the love of young Nana. In reality I don't have a name. I am hope, armed. Voice of the chorus. Fathers and mothers are desperate because the son was sold. Other voice, and Zika is forced to leave to the borders of Pernambuco. The only salvation is Zombie. Lucada, he said armed hope. He is a lighthouse for suffering black people. Zombie, they want to shut my mouth but they leave my eyes open. They mistreat my body but I escape from the grasp of the damned master. Voice of the chorus. Zombie's example should be followed. Other voice, he's the hero of freedom. Lucada, to him I offer my sons, Agino and Zika. Fair seller, I can't offer anything, since I have neither wealth nor family. So I offer my king as a gift the song of my labor. He performs a street seller's song. Other such songs follow, creating an unexpected choir in homage to Zombie. The performance continues to grow until it develops into a samba, by a rural choir, and all the blacks dance. Polino, entering, looking for Zombie. I'm bringing news. Zombie, important news. Palmer's is in danger. Zombie, since the time the first slave built his first macambo in the quilombo of Palmer's, Palmer's has been in danger. The valor of our men is our rampart. Polino, this rampart, Zombie, can one day fall on the bodies of Maroons. Listen to the news I bring. Zombie, let it fall today. It will rise again tomorrow. Freedom for the oppressed sometimes bear this price. The price of life itself. I will die for it. Voice from the chorus. Ah, woe is us. Other voice. Zombie foretells his death. Other voice. Black people's freedom will grow. A gigantic tree from out of the ashes of our hero. Wounded in the fight. Polino. Zombie is eternal. Zombie. Freedom is eternal. It doesn't matter if the hero falls. When the meaning of his fight already took root in the hearts of men. We may not yet be a strong tree. But we are the seed. Polino. I want to explain why I came. Voice from the chorus. There's some important news that Polino is going to give us. Other voice. He's a loyal guy. Polino. Other voice. A good friend of zombies. Polino. 6,000 determined men have been organized into a regiment to destroy Palmer's, which like a fallen branch, blocks the route traced by the whites for the colonization of Alagos. Pernambuco's governor, Quintano de Melo e Castro, was the one who ordered the organization of this column. Zombie. Who's the leader of the expedition? Polino. It's Domingo Jorge Velho, that same Paulista who in Sao Tomé's time was already in this area, sniffing out Maroon mobilization. Voice from the chorus. Flag waver of a thankless flag. He even sold himself once. Polino. Domingos Jorge Velho is leading the Paulistas, Bernardo Vieira de Melo the Pernambucans, and Sebastião Dias is coming with his troops from Alagos. Sad times are coming. Zombie. The oppressor approaches our fields. His soldiers sing bloody marching song. Another onslaught against us. The rich ones and the masters conspire together. I will make them run. My freedom poem is sung by everybody. Men and women sing it. Rivers and palm trees too. Voice from the chorus. This virile song from Zombie's mouth is like a breath of life for us. Other voice. His voice is a trumpet in the heavens announcing holy war. Other voice. It's the echo of Alorum. Zombie. The oppressor gathers new troops. The palm trees are full of arrows, the rivers of blood. They are killing my brothers. Killing my beloved ones. Devastating the fields. Stealing our reserves. To save the faith and civilization. But they didn't kill the poem that will be sung through the centuries. Voice from the chorus. Zombie will be the centuries. Other voice. Freedom will come. Zombie. Time and the calendar will refashion themselves. Polino. But there are betrayers here. Zombie. Bimbo. Jumping in front of Zombie. I know the name of three. Three cowardly betrayers. Who sold themselves for money. Zombie. You are not part of that threesome. Even if you wished, you could never betray me. Since being aware of who you are, I already closed my heart to you. Bimbo. My mouth. Zombie. Can only sing your praises. Zombie. Nevertheless, I want both men and gods to judge you as a poisonous creeper that must be crushed underfoot. Voices from the chorus. We already know that Bimbo is a renegade spy. Other voice. Death to the traitor. Bimbo. Throwing himself at Zombie's feet. Confessing my crimes. I beg for your justice and wisdom. I am worse than snake poison. Command them to kill me. Zombie. I don't believe at all in the sincerity of your demand. You will be judged. Bimbo. To live is the worst punishment for a man like you. Who knows that he is snake poison. But I believe you will die. Bimbo cries out. He is dragged by his arms and taken to the forest. From far off, drums resound. Zombie. There are the atabaks beating strongly in the sun. The moans of the palm trees, the cries of the forests. Our war has begun. He exits. Voices from the chorus. Freedom. Zombie. Sereva. Sereva. The drums continue. The blacks turn themselves in the direction of Palmer's, raising and lowering their arms. Voices from the chorus. Sereva. Sereva. Kalu. Entering the fair. Zombie. Where is Zombie? Lucada. Why is the cursed one looking for her father, who declared her dead? Kalu. I came to prevent a tragedy. Where's Bimbo hiding? Agino. Crying like a coward, he was taken to Palmer's, where Zombie will put him on trial. He's a spy and betrayer. Kalu. Following Bimbo's suggestion, young master is coming to the fair. That conniver planned to bring young master face to face with Zombie, in order to precipitate a disaster. Zika. Kala. Disaster is your destiny. You don't see him who loves you. You don't see this sad man, who can't erase your feminine image from his thoughts. What you see is the disaster of a love without a name. This love of Kala for a white master, who enjoys himself with her. Kalu. I am the owner of my body. I don't control my heart. Zika, your eyes misled you. Your heart betrayed you. In every way, it's a disaster. You made Zombie suffer. In a moment of war, you troubled our king greatly. Kalu, I bear all the pain. Love took me in his arms. Voice from the chorus. The young master is coming. Other voice, at the side of his bride. Other voice, the sad destiny of Kala. Kala hides herself. The young master, nice and communicative, is the beloved of his father's house slaves, whom he protects. He likes Kala, but he ignores her love. He has come to show the curiosities of the fair to Nha Tilda Flora, his cousin and betrothed, recently arrived from Sao Paulo, where her father, a pioneering settler, had made an immense fortune. With the arrival of the young master, the market songs start once again, and all plunge themselves into the fair that continues noisily. Young master, Mark, Flora, the beauty of these street sellers cries. One of the blacks performs. Flora claps her hands. I bet that in Piratininga there is nothing as beautiful as this. Nha Tilda Flora, talking to the black. Is it good, this thing that you're selling? Black man, these are quitutes, Nhanha, and some things for babies. Nha Tilda Flora, and what do you suggest that I take? Black man, it could only be Quimbambe, because the rest is Jerebita. Nha Tilda Flora, and Jerebita is what? Black man, is Kachasinha, Nhanha. Nha Tilda Flora, and do you like Kachasa? Black man, when it doesn't bring Muafa, he laughs. Nha Tilda Flora laughs. Young master gives some money to the black. Young master, to Nha Tilda Flora, good people are always cheerful. They are miserable because they are enslaved. Nha Tilda Flora, if the masters are bad, not like young master, approaching the black's tent. Oh, what a delicious smell. Black man, it's the smell of Akara. Nha Tilda Flora, Akara, I want one. She takes one, puts it in the mouth. She bites it and screams. Ouch. Some blacks gather, curious. Young master, did you burn your tongue? Nhanha, Nha Tilda Flora, blowing. Ouch. Pepper. Black man, it's because Nhanha's mouth is like a honeycomb. Pepper with honey is weird. Lukada, drink some ala, so that the burning passes away. Young master, my aunt Lukada, still in good shape? Lukada, suffering for my sins. To what do we owe this honor? Young master, I brought Nha Tilda Flora, my betrothed, to enjoy the fair. From her corner, where she was hiding herself, Kala walks slowly, as if moved by a strange force, in the direction of Nha Tilda Flora, all eyes fixed on her, while at the same time from the blacks arises a collective lamentation of sorrow. Kalu, passing her hand over the very pale face of Nha Tilda Flora, who smiles at her, betrothed. Young master, beautiful. Young master, this is Kala, the most beautiful of our slaves, the one that my father wants to give you as your chambermaid, when we get married. She's coming with us to Sao Paulo. Nha Tilda Flora, Kala, would you like that? Kalu, if young master wishes another collective lamentation from the blacks, but Imanjo is calling me. Don't you hear her? Another lamentation. Nha Tilda Flora, I will ask Imanja to wait. Since you are life yourself. So young. So beautiful. Kalu, betrothed. Betrothed. White lily. Nha Tilda Flora, I came here to see the fair, the market songs, and enjoy a dance. If you would like to dance. Young master, to Lukada, what dance can we watch? Lukada, the most beautiful is the Lundu. Turning back to the black women. A Lundu for Nhanha. Nha Tilda Flora, to Kala, and will you dance for me? Kalu, I will dance for my father. We hear the first measure of a Lundu. The dance starts. Kala captures the attention of the couple and all the blacks. She's mysterious and seductive, without taking her eyes off Nha Tilda Flora. At a certain point she bends down at young master's feet, as if she wanted to kiss his boots. The Lundu continues for some more measures. Kala doesn't rise up. The blacks start mourning. Young master tries to lift up her head, but they realize that she's dead and her hand holds a knife that she had plunged into her stomach. Voice from the chorus. Kala. Kala has died. The laments of the blacks become more intense. In the distance, the sound of atabaks. Zombies' war cries from afar. Voice from the chorus. The girl with stars in her eyes. Starlight in the black sky. She has ceased to suffer. Other voice. Shipwrecked in the river of love. Emanja took her other voice, Zombie, from afar, has received the news, with the tender feelings of a father. His men are coming, looking for women who will bear children for Palmas. They will take Kala's body to the mountain. Zika, taking Kala in his arms, the one who loved her, she didn't notice. He walks between two groups of blacks. The light of her eyes is now extinguished in mine. My heart has withered. Revenge. Zombie. The drums play louder. Maroons invade the fair.